Okay, good morning to everyone. I welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord on this December 13th morning in the year 2020. I am glad to see each one of you, your names, your numbers, your faces, and some of you I can see live video. So it's good to be here this morning to meet with you all. I've been praying for you, and I want to say thank you for praying for me. Last 2 weeks, as some of you know, had a coughing spell for whatever reason. I had not been sick, and I'm not sick now, as far as I know, in Jesus' name, but I did have some type of coughing spell. So thank you for praying for me. Thank you for all your acts of kindness and love and concern, whether it came through gifts, cards, phone calls, or emails, and most of all, your prayers. So I want to say thank you. Continue to keep me in prayer. I pray for you daily, and I encourage you to pray for one another every day. Today, we will be continuing in our study of Luke chapter 11, and we will be concentrating this morning on what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. If we have any new persons joining us this morning, we welcome you. The class welcomes you, the Contemporary Bible Class of Salem Baptist Church. I am Sister Velma Jean Sanders, the teacher, and we all welcome you in Jesus' name. Some of you, I may not have your emails. If I don't have your email address, most of you I do, but if I do not have your email address and you are not receiving my weekly Zoom invitations, please put your email address on the chat, and that way you can get the invitation each week. Some of you, I have come to learn, are receiving the invitations, but you immediately hit delete because you think you know what's going to be said in each of those invitations. I have been on some weeks, not every week, but some week, including attachments. And last week, I did include an attachment on prayer. So I encourage you to at least glance at the Zoom invitation. There will not always be a difference, but some weeks there will be. On each one of the invitations, I do have special notes that let you know what scripture text we will be studying from the following Sunday. So take time to look at those invitations. As we continue in our class this morning, I just mentioned that on my last invitation, I included an attachment called Questions on Prayer. If you did not receive that, let me know. Send me a chat to let me know that you need a copy of that attachment. I will not be going over those questions. There are questions just to measure your own personal growth in the area of prayer, 70 questions that I encourage you to answer for yourself. They are also meant to help us to grow in prayer as a guideline and also as reminders. If I had to do this list, and I did it in one setting, I just started typing questions as God gave them to me. So this is not a test or anything. It's just the rule, a yardstick or something to measure your prayer life. We're going to go to our Lord in prayer and then go on with our study. Luke chapter 11, I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. Our Father who art in heaven, we come before you this morning on a brand new day, offering unto you fresh praise. We thank you for new mercies, new grace, new power, new strength. We thank you and praise you. You are the living God. We praise you that you are our God and you are our Father. And in this special time where we remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, our Savior, the one who sent the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide. We call on you now to teach us your word. Oh, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, and give us the mind to obey. We thank you and we praise you. We pray for one another, Father, and for every need of everyone in this class. We lift up every need in prayer. I pray, Lord, that you will be with me this morning, Father, and that you will carry me through this class I pray now, Father, for the unction of the Holy Ghost, that you would lead, guide, empower, and strengthen. I pray that there would not be any interruptions in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you are the Lord who still rebukes Satan. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the victory even now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 11, this morning, we will be looking at verses 1 through 4. Now, last week, I introduced the chapter in its entirety. Luke chapter 11, we found out 54 verses in that chapter. So we will be in this chapter for some time. We are actually going to be in the first four verses for a little while. This is part one today. In Luke chapter 11, on last week, when I was teaching, I told you that this chapter is outlined in two parts. There's the first part that is in verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And we could entitle that prayer. That whole passage is on prayer. And we are on friendly ground in that passage. When we looked at verses 14 all the way through 54, now it turns to hostile territory. And we saw a lot of hostile enemy words in that text of scripture. So two parts to Luke chapter 11, part 1, verses 1 through 13, part 2, verses 14 through 54. Luke chapter 11 here, Jesus is talking to his disciples. We see that in verse 1, where it says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him." And so this chapter starts out with Jesus, first of all, talking to the Father, and then he turns his conversation to the disciples because of a question that they asked. Now, we have learned that Luke chapter 9 is transitional. We saw in Luke chapter 9, let's go back to Luke chapter 9 for a moment. We saw that in Luke chapter 9, for the first time, Jesus sent the 12 disciples on their first solo mission trip. They were successful. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 tells us he called his 12 disciples. He gave them power. Verse 2 says he sent them to preach, and he sent them to heal. And then we go on down to verse 10. And verse 10 tells us that the apostles, they returned and they told him all that they had done. And if you can remember in Luke chapter 9, Jesus immediately takes them into another session of teaching. He had much, much more to teach them in Luke chapter 9. Then we went to Luke chapter 10, and in Luke chapter 10, the focus turns from the 12 disciples to the 70 others that Jesus had appointed. That is in Luke chapter 10. And we saw in Luke chapter 10 an emphasis on those who will receive the Lord Jesus, receive his word, receive his messengers, and those who would reject him. Now we're in chapter 11, and chapter 11, the focus turns again back to the disciples, the 12 disciples. Now, I'm going to ask you a question for you to think about. We don't have a lot of time in class, but the question is, when you picture Jesus, when you picture our Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't mean his physical face, whatever face you may imagine and whatever type of body type you may imagine, I don't mean that. But when you picture Jesus, how do you picture him? Do you picture him? Well, this time of year, we may picture Jesus born in a manger as a little bitty baby. That is a picture that we have seen as Christians, that we imagine. We also picture Jesus as ministering to people. We can picture the multitudes of people around him and Jesus. We can picture him on the Mount. We can picture him at the Sermon on the Mount with the multitudes, and he is teaching and he is preaching. We also can picture Jesus as healing the sick. We can picture sick people coming to Jesus and he laying his hands upon them and healing them and also raising the dead. We can picture Jesus, miracle worker, miracle wonder, Jesus himself walking on the water. We can picture that. And we can picture Jesus saying, "Peace, be still." And the waves immediately lay down like an obedient child. We can picture all of that. But most of us, when I ask, how do you picture Jesus? Most of us do not picture him in prayer. But that is a prominent part of Jesus's life as the man. Jesus was a man of prayer. And even now, at the right hand of the Father, one of Jesus's main ministries as our high priest, even today, Jesus is still praying for us. Jesus is a man of prayer, and Jesus is the God of prayer. And every prayer that Jesus prays will be answered. None of Jesus's prayers have been rejected. All of his prayers are in the total will of God. And so now I want you to picture Jesus as a man of prayer. Now, Jesus is our master. Jesus is our Lord. And we are his disciples. We're learning from him. And we, too, should be children of prayer. And so we're going to not rush through this chapter. We're not even going to rush through these first four verses. We want to become more people of prayer, individually and collectively. Now, I can see in my lifetime, as you can see probably in your lifetime, especially if you have been in the church at any time at all, in local churches, you can see a diminishing, as it were, in the area of prayer and in the area of the Word of God. Whether it's more scripture read, is it more scripture being read today, or is it less scripture being read today in the public arena? Is there more scripture being read in your personal life today, or is there less? What about prayer? Are we praying more as the local church, or are we praying less? And so there is a diminishing of prayer. And it's all over. It's all over the place. It's all over where we don't spend a lot of time in prayer. But prayer is one of the most, if not the most, powerful thing we can do on this earth. And I would probably say, and I don't know, it probably all blends in together, but worship would be, of course, the highest thing. But worship itself is a form of prayer. We often, when we hear prayer, we immediately may think of intercession. We may think of petitions, and we may think of asking, but there's also worship. Prayer is one of the most, if not the most powerful thing we can do on this earth. And so Jesus is going to take time to talk to us about prayer this morning in verses 1 through 13. Now, let's outline that passage of scripture. You know, I like to give outlines. And so when I give the outlines, if you've been with me, as I've said, we put all the food on the plate. Our food on the plate is Luke chapter 11. But we need to cut it. We need to slice it. We need to take it little by little, bit by bit. And so in order to do that, we're going to start out by outlining verses 1 through 13. Let's look at it. Verse 1. Let's first of all read this passage. It reads, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.' And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So that ends the reading of our passage this morning, and we say amen to the word of the Lord. Now, that's our food on the plate. Let us look at it little by little and outline it. First of all, in verse 1, how does this passage open? Well, we know the narrative continues. Luke, the narrator, he's continuing on with his record, with this gospel. And Luke lets us know, now it came to pass. And the first part of our outline in verse 1 is Jesus is praying. Curtain up on the stage. And what do we see immediately when curtain of 11, the curtain of chapter 11 goes up? The first scene is Jesus in prayer. Then next of all, we see the disciples' request. So number one, Jesus is in prayer. And that we see that it says he was praying. Then number two, we see the disciples' request. We see that in verse 1, where it says, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. That's number two. Number three, in our outline, Jesus actually teaches them. He answers them, and he teaches them in verses 2 through 4. He teaches them what to say when they pray. That's in verses 2 through 4, where he teaches them. Then we get to an illustration. Jesus gives several illustrations. The first one is in verse 5 through verse 10. And Jesus is illustrating. He gives this example, this parable, and the illustration, the point he wants us to learn is to be persistent. Don't give up on your prayers. And we see that word persistent in verse 8. In verse 8, it reads, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence. And so Jesus is teaching us, don't give up. Be persistent in your prayers. And then Jesus gives another illustration, another parable in verses 11 through 13. And this is telling us about the Father, Heavenly Father, the Father's willingness to give. And it ends in verse 13 by saying, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Okay? And so that ends by letting us know the Father is willing to give. Now we see the entire Godhead is involved in prayer. God the Father, God the Son, and also God the Holy Spirit. This passage, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, Of course, it opens with Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the second person in the Godhead, praying and teaching us to pray. Jesus, and he gives us much on prayer. But this whole passage here, beginning in verse 1, verse 2, all the way to the end, verse 13, is Father, Father, Father. Prayer is to be directed to God the Father. Now, that does not mean that we don't say, Jesus, help me. Sometimes we say, Lord Jesus, help me. And I believe that is a prayer that is received and answered by Jesus, by the Father. But Jesus taught us when you pray, and there is an order to the way God wants things to be done, and we have to follow his instruction. Prayer is to be directed to the Father in the name of the Son. And so we see Father all throughout this prayer. First of all, in verse 1, we don't see the name Father there, but we do see as he was praying. Well, Jesus is not praying to himself. Jesus is not praying to any man. Jesus is not praying to an object. Jesus is praying to God, his Father. Jesus is praying to God, his God. Jesus is the Son of God, second person of the Godhead. He, in the order of the Godhead, now God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, each one is God, one God in three persons. But there is order in the Godhead. God the Father never prays. God the Father has never needed to pray. God the Father will never pray. God the Father does not pray. But God the Son does, because the Father is head. The Father is the first in the Godhead. And God the Father sent the Son. So the Son is the servant. The Son, and I said in all reverence, is under the Father. But they're both equal. God, I and my Father is one. Jesus said that in the Gospel according to John, I believe chapter 10. And Jesus also said, my Father is greater than I. Jesus said that. And so the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God, but there is order. And so we see Jesus. Who is he praying to? He is praying to his Father. And we can all remember Jesus on the cross where Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus prays to his God. And we can also hear Jesus on the cross saying, Father. These were his last words on the cross. Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so Jesus prays to God as his God. Jesus prays to God the Father as his Father. And now he teaches us and his Father all the way. He teaches us in verse 2, when you pray, talking to the 12 disciples and also talking to us today, when we pray, say, our Father. So prayers to the Father. Now, this may seem elementary, and maybe it is elementary, but it is needed. We still need to hear this. If we want to be successful in our prayers, if we want the approval of the Father, we want to do it the way Jesus taught us. And he says, start out with Father. And we'll be saying much more about our Father in heaven as we proceed on in our study. But then we go on, and we go on to verse 5, where Jesus gives this first illustration. And my Bible titles it Parable of the Persistent Friend. Well, we also see Father shows up again in this parable here. Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight? We read that. And then we kept going to verse 7. And verse 7 says, and he will answer from within. That's the man, the homeowner, and we'll find out the father. Verse 7, and he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. So there's Father again. There is the Father and his children. Prayer is about addressing God the Father. And so, Father, from the beginning, Father in the middle, and then it ends, this whole passage ends with Father. This passage is booked in by God the Father. At the very end, verse 13, if you then, talking about us being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, it's a father and children. This is prayers between father and a child, child and a father. Verse 13, if you then being evil know how, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so as Father, Jesus teaching us to pray. It is in the gospel according to John that Jesus teaches, pray in his name. Ask the Father in the name of the Son. Well, we see Jesus praying, Jesus teaching us to pray, Jesus teaching the 12 disciples to pray. We see this passage booked in by Father at the beginning, at the end, and also in the middle. But we also see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Godhead, God, the Holy Spirit. And here we say, it says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, that's the other side of it, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And you might think, I didn't ask for the Holy Spirit. I asked for some bread. Or I'm asking for whatever. Well, Jesus lets us know that what we need to do, teach us to pray. Well, you need the Holy Spirit to pray. And so one of our main prayers is we need the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who helps us to pray. There is no true prayer without the Holy Spirit being a participant in it. It is through the Holy Spirit, who resides in us today. It is the Holy Spirit. When a person is born again, we come into this world dead in trespasses, dead in sins, talking about our spirit. Our spirit is dead. But when we are born again, and it is being born again, that you now have Father, that you can say Father. But when we're born again, a lot of things happens. But one thing that happens is the Holy Spirit comes within our spirit and he quickens our dead spirit. Where we were dead in spirit, we become alive because the Holy Spirit comes within us. He quickens our dead spirit and he makes our spirit alive. And so the Holy Spirit in our spirit, he moves us in prayer. Now, we're not always aware of it. Prayer should be like breathing for the Christian. The more you walk with Jesus day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, prayer should be for the Christian so natural, like we breathe the air. We're not even aware of it many times that we're breathing. For the most part, we're probably not aware that we're breathing. That is how prayer should be. One aspect of prayer is that even subconsciously, and some of you have experienced this, subconsciously, there's something within you praying. Even when you're mentally, consciously not aware of it, that is the Holy Spirit. He's praying. He's praying within us. And so Jesus, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all involved in prayer. How do we pray to the Father in the name of the Son? But we need the Holy Spirit. And so when the disciples said in verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, he went on talking about Father. And then he said at the end, give us, Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Now, the Holy Spirit, he dwells within each one of us who are truly his children. We are children of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. But we can also, even now, ask the Holy Spirit to teach us to pray. We can ask just like Jesus taught us. Because when the disciples said in verse 1, the disciples, are we disciples? Yes, we are followers of Christ. Yes, we are being instructed. Yes, we are being learned. We are being taught. We are students, and we are becoming imitators of Christ. That is what a disciple is. Well, as the 12 disciples asked Jesus on yesterday, so can we today on December 13, 2020, as much as we may think we know about prayer, we're continuing to grow. We're still disciples. So each one of us, Velma for herself and you for yourself, each one of us, let's breathe a prayer right now. Or you can breathe it or you can vocally say it. And we're going to say the same prayer that the disciples asked Jesus years ago. We're going to make the same request. So let's do it now. Jesus, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then they said, as John also taught his disciples. So each one of us, let's say now, talking to Jesus, talk, because that's who they were talking to, and we're in our word today. And we know we pray to the Father, but let's say like they did yesterday, Lord, teach us to pray. That is our prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And we say in Jesus' name, amen. But then let's go to verse 13. And verse 13 says, and we've read it three or four times, so one more time, verse 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? To those who ask him. And so let's do that. This is the living word of God. It's not a dead word. You should never be in God's word and feel like his word is dry. His word is boring. His word is irrelevant. His word lives. It has a heartbeat. It is the living word of God. And as the disciples, as Jesus said on yesterday, your heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Let's ask him. Let's ask him now. Let's ask our heavenly Father now to give us the Holy Spirit to teach us to pray. Give us the Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray. Our Father, give us the Holy Spirit and teach us to pray. We want to grow in our prayers. And so that introduces Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Now let's look at verse 1. Luke chapter 11, let's back up. You know, in our class, and you know, when you're chewing on your food, you don't just, you put your food in your mouth and you don't just take one bite and swallow. You chew on that. You chew on that food. You chew and you chew and you chew. And then you eventually swallow. And then the word has to do however God has it work, that the body, the food be digested. And then things happen and growth comes. And so let's chew on this word. And so we back up to verse 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying, as Jesus in prayer. We have seen all throughout Luke, Jesus is in prayer. We saw, first of all, Jesus praying at his baptism. And when Jesus prayed as he was being baptized, something happened. We remember that. Heaven opened. The Spirit of God came like a dove, and the Father said, "This is my Son." We see Jesus praying at his baptism. We saw Jesus praying all night. We saw Jesus praying at the Transfiguration. Jesus is a prayer. He was a praying man, and he is a praying man even to this day. Jesus, the man, prays. And in heaven today, keep in mind, Jesus is the man. Once he became a man, and that's what we celebrate during Christmas, God became a man. That is what the word incarnation means. God became a man, and it says God became flesh and dwelt among us. And once God became a man, the man, he is still the man today. He is God, but he is still the man. And Paul in Timothy, it says, there is one mediator, one go-between between God and man. There is one mediator between God and man, all humanity. And then it says, the man, Christ Jesus. And so as the man, he prays. Jesus prays as the man. God never has to pray, but the man does. The man, Jesus, prays. And we as men, and we as born again children of God, we pray too. And so Jesus here, he is praying. We see him praying in a certain place. And that word certain, if you go back to chapter 9 and pick up all the certains, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but that word certain kept showing up, a certain. And Luke is not so concerned about knowing exactly where. He's just trying to get the point of praying is happening. And so we see Jesus in prayer. Now, Luke, the man, Luke, he was a doctor. He was a Gentile. Luke presents Jesus as the man. That is the emphasis of the gospel according to Luke, presenting Jesus as the man. We know that there are four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it, but in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, those four living creatures, and the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. That's in Revelation chapter 4. The first living creature, like a lion, that is equivalent talking about, and it has more. There's much more could be said about these living creatures. But the first living creature, like a lion, Matthew presents Jesus as the king, the lion. The second living creature, like a calf, Mark presents Jesus as the servant. He is the servant. And the third living creature had a face like a man. That's Luke presenting Jesus as the man. And the fourth living creature, like a flying eagle. Here comes John presenting Jesus as a flying eagle, because John presents Jesus from the divine standpoint. And so Luke presents Jesus as the man in prayer. Things happen when Jesus prayed. We spent a week or two talking about things happen when Jesus prays. And now when Jesus is praying in Luke chapter 11, something happens. What happens when he prays now? When he prays, something gives birth when Jesus prays. When he prayed, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And we're so glad that whoever that disciple was, we don't know which one it was, but one of those disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And as a result of that one man, whoever he was, that made that request, here's what's given birth, is what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now let's go to Luke chapter 6. We're not going to go all the way back to things happen when Jesus prayed, but let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And I want us to see Jesus and the disciples. That's the relationship now. We're going to look at Luke chapter 6, verse 12. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it reads, now it came to pass. There's another, now it came to pass. Now it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And so in this verse, we see Jesus alone in prayer. He is alone in prayer. We do not know what he prayed. We know he separated himself from the multitude, the crowd. He separated himself from the disciples, and he went out. That's a separation. He separated himself. He went out and he went up. He went out to the mountain to pray, praying to his God. He prayed, continued all night in prayer to God. Verse 13, and when it was day, he called his disciples. And now he calls his disciples to himself. And so in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we see Jesus alone in prayer. The disciples, they are not with him there. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 18, it reads, "And it happened as he was alone praying." See that? "And it happened." This is another time Jesus is praying. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. Okay, so Jesus is praying. And as he was praying, as he was alone praying, his disciples joined him. And so we can picture that Jesus alone. Addition. Here comes his disciples, and they join him. 1 + 12. Jesus alone praying, his disciples joined him. All right. Now let's go on over to our passage, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And when we look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we see now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him. And so that's three dots I gave you. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Jesus alone praying, the disciples not around. Jesus up in the mountain by himself praying, the disciples not around him. Then we went to Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Jesus praying and the disciples joined him. As he was praying, they joined him. But now in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it appears that as he was praying all alone, all a while, that the disciples were with him. They were with him in prayer. And when he ceased praying, when he said his amen, when he said his amen, then one of the disciples said, they were so impressed. They were so moved by Jesus's prayers. Jesus's prayers were on a whole different level, and they still are, than anybody else's prayers, the prayers of Jesus. Do you know, and do you not realize, if Jesus hadn't told us, we could say, our Father. It was Jesus who told us that we could say, our Father. If Jesus hadn't told us the nerve that any human being made of the dust, of dirt, less than nothing, sinful man, could call the Almighty God, Father, that is crazy talk. But Jesus said we could call him Father. And we are so glad. I mean, it would be audacious to call the Almighty God, the Almighty God, you know, the one who never changes, the one who just spoke and worlds are created, the one who has always been God, the great I am, that I am. You know, we need everything. We need God to give us breath. God needs nothing. He is I am that I am. How dare us to say, just say Father? That would be unimaginable, audacious. But God, through Jesus, says we could call him Father. And so we say, our Father. And so the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, because they're hearing Jesus pray. And keep in mind, prayer was not foreign to these disciples. They grew up in an environment of prayer. Like when I was growing up, now I've been on this earth a few years. I'm not a baby. And I'm looking at most of you all, and I don't think y'all are babies either. Might be some out there. But you all look like you've been walking on this earth a little while too. And we can see on this earth things changing. Things are changing. When I grew up, there was more of an environment in prayer. I grew up, and I remember as a child that when I grew up, we did pray in school. We did, and I want to say this, I'm hesitating. I'm not that old, but I'm not young either. But I grew up, and we prayed in school. And we said, I don't know if we said the Lord's Prayer, but I remember we prayed in school, and we probably did pray the Lord's Prayer. So I've seen a change in my lifetime that has been removed vocally in schools today, for the most part. There has been a change in society. But the disciples, they grew up in an environment of prayer. Prayer was not foreign to them. It was not strange to them. They grew up in the environment of prayer. As a matter of fact, let's go to Luke chapter 1. Because when Luke opens, Luke chapter 1, let's go all the way back to Luke chapter 1. And you all know prayer should become so natural for us. As you're going throughout the day, you can be praying. I'm praying as I'm teaching. I'm praying, Lord, help me. Even as I'm teaching, I'm praying, Lord, hold me. I'm praying, Lord, help me to see. That's what I'm praying right now. So Luke chapter 1, I'm saying how the disciples grew up in an environment of prayer. In an environment of prayer. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 10. Well, let's look at verse 5. Verse 5. Now, this is talking about John the Baptist coming forth and being born, Elizabeth and Zacharias. In verse 5, Zacharias was the priest, and he was doing his priestly duties. Verse 8, Luke chapter 1, verse 8. So it was that while Zacharias was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And it could have been, I don't know, but it could have been that one or more of those disciples could have been right there. It's possible, we don't know. But we do see the whole multitude, the people, they were outside Zacharias doing his priestly duty. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside. And so the disciples were used to prayer, but they had not heard anyone pray like Jesus. Let's go back to, well, let's also go on over to Luke chapter 6. Let's go to Luke chapter 6 again. And so we saw Luke opens his gospel with the whole multitude of people in prayer. And my point is the disciples grew up in an environment of prayer. Prayer was not strange to them. And so in Luke chapter 6, now Jesus had been teaching them on prayer. He had already given them some instructions on prayer. In Luke chapter 6, verse 17, what we just saw in verse 12, Jesus prayed, continued all night. Verse 13, he called his disciples to himself and he chose 12. Then let's go to verse 17. And he came down with them, Jesus and his disciples, stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples. And then Jesus, verse 20, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, and then Jesus begins to say, he had a lot that he had to say. But one thing he said, when we go to verse 27, verse 27 says, but I say to you who hears, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. I had to pause because we need to digest that one. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. So Jesus had already taught his disciples some things about prayer. It was not like he hadn't been teaching them all along some things about prayer. And one thing right here early on, he told them in verse 28, pray for those who spitefully use you. We are down to 5 minutes. So let's go to Luke chapter 11 again. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. The disciples heard Jesus. They heard his prayers. Now, today we are privileged to read some of Jesus' prayers. Some of his prayers are recorded. And for next week's lesson, I'm going to ask you, I'm asking you to read what, now we call this prayer in Luke chapter 11, verse 2 through 4. We commonly call this the Lord's Prayer. And that's okay. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but actually it's the disciples' prayer. It is the prayer that he gave his disciples to pray. It is not the prayer he prayed per se. It is the prayer for the disciples. Right. But one of our Lord's prayers is in John chapter 17. And I want you to read John chapter 17, because you should be reading your Bibles every day anyway. And if you're not, you're trying to strengthen that and strengthen your prayers. So I'm asking you to read John chapter 17, Jesus's high priestly prayer. And I want you to read it. I want you to read it, period. But I want you to read it thinking about this first thing that Jesus tells us to pray when he taught us to pray. He said, when you pray, say. When you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I want you just, as you read John chapter 17, notice how Jesus himself is talking to Father in heaven, hallow your name. And you all introducing this, and we'll be in this passage until we're done. All of this, what we call the Lord's Prayer, is hinging on hallow your name. It's all about God's name being hallowed. Everything is about hallowing the name of the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we hallow your name. We hallow your name how? Your kingdom, your will. All of that is about his provision, his protection. All of that is about hallowing the name of the Lord. 2 minutes we have. And so in Luke chapter 11, the disciples, they had sense enough to know, I need to be taught how to pray. Well, same for Velma, even today. I'm not assuming, I know I don't know everything about praying. So I'm still saying, Lord, teach me to pray. And you're saying it as well. Lord, may the Holy Spirit who dwells within me teach me to pray. That's like a child. That's humility. That's recognizing our deficiency. We have a deficiency in prayer. Let's go in our closing minutes. Let's go to Romans, the book of Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So you all got your quote assignment to read John chapter 17 with the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer in mind. Now we're on our last minute, so we're going to read Romans 8, and I'm going to go into prayer. You can unmute yourselves after I do, and hopefully I can hear you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, it is the Spirit, he also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. And then in verse 27 again, it says, he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then we go to verse 34, and verse 34 says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God today. He is also making intercession for us. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, our great high priest and the Amen himself. We thank you, Lord, for your care for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who prays for us and Jesus who prays for us. We thank you that you've taught us to pray. We thank you that we can pray for ourselves and pray for one another as our Father. We ask you to be with us through this week, and we ask you now to help us to hallow your name every day, every minute of the day. May we live that your name is hallowed. Be with us and keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I still can't hear you. So,
amen.
Amen.
Can you hear us, everyone? If something's wrong with you,
amen.
Hallelujah. The word went
to hallelujah.
Thank God for holding me. Thank God for holding you. And he got us
through.
God bless you all. I hope to see you next week. Thank you, everyone, for your chat.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Love everybody.
Love you more, doctor.
I'll see you next week. Laura Willis.
Yes.
Woo. Amen. It was all right.
Wasn't it good? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, so pretty. I'm watching everyone leave.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to end the meeting since I can't hear everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I see your hearts.
Oh, bless her heart.
Have a good week.
I don't know what happened with her system. She was unable to